Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm In7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome in to another exciting week of the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, In7 the Legend, and joining me as always is Genesis. Genesis, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a nice, relaxing Saturday for me.
Same. I have eaten a ton of good food. I filled myself up with some delicious Korean fried chicken earlier, and then I tried my hand at making homemade blizzards, like from DQ, but I made some brownie batter ones, and now I can't move. So this should be a fun episode, but we're not alone here, Genesis. We're not alone in the universe. Cue the X-Files theme, but don't actually, because that would be a copyright violation. We also have all of our patrons for the end of the month of May patron chat episode. So why don't we go ahead and go around the horn and introduce everybody, and then we'll get to the topic. I will go ahead and go clockwise from the view that I see, clockwise from Genesis. So, Dollar Bills, how are you doing?
I'm a little tired after 14 hours in the car today, but other than that.
Okay, yeah. You beat me. That's a lot more exhausting. All right. Yeah. And Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Had a great day, you know, but, you know, like Genesis, I got to go to work tomorrow too. So, been pretty good overall though.
Oh yeah. Yep. I am very thankful I don't have to go to work tomorrow. Andrew, how are you?
I've had a busy day today, but doing well, but it's a theme. I have to go to work tomorrow, so the trend is rolling.
Everybody's working on Sunday. What's up with that? Magister DeVita, are you also working on Sunday?
Not Sunday, but I am next Saturday, so weekend warriors, I suppose.
All right. Not everybody is working for the weekend. Some people are working on the weekend. Ed Boy, how about you?
I'm also working tomorrow. Wow. Doing good otherwise.
Capitalism, am I right? All right. Yukon Cornelius, welcome in.
How's everybody doing? I am not working tomorrow, so.
All right. Woot woot. There we go. Another person spared from the agony of this inevitable economic machine. And so now that we've gotten everybody introduced, you can probably tell it's a full house today, which means we're going to have a very wide variety, I assume, of perspectives on our topic. This week, we're discussing if you were going to play through the original trilogy of Mass Effect, who would you choose to play as? Your options are any NPC in the original trilogy or any protagonist from any video game ever. So I can't wait to hear what people have to say. We'll try and split it up since we've got an even number of people here, three people in the first half, three in the second half. Then, Jen, you and I can save our thoughts for the very end. I don't want to taint any of the little Dragon Age joke there. I don't want to taint any of the patrons' thoughts. So without further ado, let's dive right into it. Dollar Bills, if you could play through the entire Mass Effect trilogy as any other NPC in the trilogy or another protagonist from another game, who would it be?
Doomslayer, all day.
The Doomslayer.
I want Mass Effect 1. I want the Dark Ages Doomslayer. Mass Effect 2, 2016. And Mass Effect 3, Eternal, because I want the meat hook and the double barrel shotgun.
Okay, so I have a confession to make. I have never played any Doom game. Mm-hmm. And I imagine that some people listening have also never played any Doom game. Maybe you can walk us through a little bit more of what that entails.
So, and the new one, the one that came out, it's technically a prequel, The Dark Ages. You're a lot more tankish, like a lot more like a tank. You have a chainsaw shield that you can throw. So that's kind of fun. Your super shotgun, your regular shotgun, a bunch of other fun weapons. A skull crusher that shoots shreds of skulls out. So that's even more fun. Especially when you have thralls running at you. 2016, a little more balanced, not as crazy, not as tanky. A lot of still running and jumping. Eternals on a whole different level. You have to run through all your weapons. There's a lot of running, a lot of jumping. The super shotgun has a meat hook, which you can like run, jump, shoot the meat hook out to someone, pull yourself to them, and then blast them. It's really fast paced. You can't really play it well, tired, or drunk, or inebriated with anything, because you gotta focus. It's a lot of fun to play, but I want the super shotgun and maybe a BFG, just because Harbinger would not be able to stop a BFG, I don't think.
And I believe that that would stand for big freaking gun, but I didn't say freaking.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I thought. All right. Well, that sounds really high octane. How would that be different from playing as a Vanguard?
So I have a playthrough I've been doing as a Vanguard with a shotgun, trying to play like Doomslayer. One Doomslayer is, so the Doomslayer is technically Doom Guy from the original games, but he was given superpowers, essentially made almost like superhuman. And he's extremely angry at everything and everybody and just wants to kill everything. Vanguard is not as fast, can't jump as much, you don't have a super shotgun, you can't rip enemies in half with your bare hands, and you don't have a chainsaw.
Okay. I was going to say, fair, Jin, do you have any thoughts on that one?
No, this definitely sounds like an enhanced level Shepherd for sure. With the added chainsaw, like if I could turn my Omni tool into a chainsaw, I feel like I would be meleeing a lot more.
Yeah, and the chainsaw shield in the Dark Age is a lot of fun. You just throw it, cuts things in half. It's great.
So it's like a Captain America shield, but the edges are chainsaws. Is that what I'm getting?
Yep, and you can throw it, you can glory kill and cut people's heads off. It's a little gory. It would turn Mass Effect into definitely rated M.
Well, it is. For sure. I was going to say, isn't Mass Effect rated M anyway?
It might be. It was taken all the way to the edge.
That's because of fictional side boob.
Though, I will say, I don't think Doomslayer would have relations with anyone, because he doesn't speak. He's just angry.
Well, you don't need to speak to have a relationship with somebody.
He would kill them.
Okay, well, there you go. That might prevent some level of romance. All right. That's really... I'm going to open up the floor. Anyone else have special thoughts on Doomslayer? Or maybe did Dollar Bills here take your character that you wanted to play as?
I feel like Doomslayer would just see all the other aliens as demons and just kill all of them regardless of who they were.
No conversations whatsoever.
Yeah, no conversations. Liara, just shotgun blast. Gareth, chainsaw in half.
And now I'm sad.
Yeah, I don't want all my friends dead.
Sorry.
That so Doom, are you saying Doomslayer would be pro Cerberus?
Possibly.
No, I think he would kill Cerberus. I think he would just kill everybody.
Yeah.
He's only pro himself.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any other thoughts on Doomslayer before we move on?
I think
Go ahead.
No, you're gone.
I was just gonna say, wouldn't that kind of archetype just fit the like the ruthless backstory when you're creating your Shepherd? Like that mission, he survived in spite of everybody else around him dying. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. You could take it one step further. He was the reason that everyone else around him died.
Well, they weren't asking for details.
Yeah, right. You're right. So, yeah, that I can see Ruthless Shepherd turning into Doom Guy, maybe. I mean, got to be some level of deranged.
Just kill his hamster. Because that's what makes Doom Guy snap in the original games. They killed his bunny.
There we go. New theory. At the end of the Citadel DLC, they actually did kill the space hamster. And Shepherd became Doom Guy, and it is the same universe. New theory. Boom.
Not boo.
Boom. 400,000 views on YouTube. Easy. All right. Dollar John bills. Space. Yeah, John Wick in space, but with my hamster. Dollar bills, thank you for the Doomslayer character. I'm sure a lot of people are probably thinking about that right now because Dark Ages just came out. Jeffrey, who do you got in mind for your player character in the original trilogy?
So I've been playing Assassin's Creed Shadows lately, so I've been kind of having that on my mind a lot, but I'm going to kind of take that but turn a little bit and go with Cassandra from Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Because she could actually live long enough to be in Mass Effect with the staff of I can't remember the name of the staff that kept her alive for until the present day.
Wasn't it the staff of Hermes?
That sounds right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That would be badass. That would be
kick some major ass.
She could kick some major ass. In fact, I can see her like morphing into a Fem Shep role pretty easily.
Oh yeah.
She would not be afraid of anyone or anything. In fact, after the whole business with the Isu, I think the like fighting against Turians would be a cakewalk.
Oh, she breathes right through them, like mow them down.
Yep. All right. So, how do you think that Cassandra would choose by the end of Mass Effect 3? Because I feel like it's already kind of a foregone conclusion how Doomslayer guy would choose at the end of Mass Effect 3. You think how about Cassandra? How would she choose?
See, that's what I like about her character. It's a little more nuanced than just anger and death and destruction. Not that I'm throwing shade at Doomslayer or anything, but she's a little more nuanced, and I something I appreciate about both her and Alexios in the Assassin's Creed Origin games, there's a lot more of a gray area with both of them. So I honestly don't know which they would go with. Cassandra, I feel like she would be more, based on how I play her, she'd be more, she'd probably be more destroyed. And Alexios would probably be, what's the green one? Synthesis. So I'm kind of throwing both in just because you can play as either or, but Cassandra, I think, would definitely go for Destroy.
Jen, what do you think?
I unfortunately haven't played Odyssey of the Assassin's Creed games. I've only played Origins and Valhalla. So on this one, I don't have a lot of opinions, but I do know that you can switch between a male and female character in that game. So I like the idea of being able to play the Femship or Broship, Cassandra or Alexios in this option. I don't know if Doom Girl is going to come across as well as Doom Guy.
There'd be a lot of bloodshed in their paths, regardless, anyone we've chosen so far. I wouldn't mind seeing a romance scene with Cassandra, but with that, let's move on. I'll open up the floor to everybody. Anyone, especially who's played Assassin's Creed Odyssey before, what do you think of keeping Cassandra as a player character?
So I think that's quite fascinating, and I think that opens up the doors to some potential crossover with the Isu, I believe they're called. Were they potentially one of the alien races, like the ones who downloaded their minds and became digital by chance? Or were they an offshoot of the Reapers?
That's a fascinating thing to consider. Okay. All right. So if you were Cassandra, how would you pick then by the end of Mass Effect 3?
By the end of Mass Effect 3, I think she's hard enough to be wanting to do the destroy ending. And I think she has enough stuff put into place that when humanity collapses, she would be able to help them come back, bring them back, basically.
Gotcha. Did Jeffrey happen to pick anyone else's? Was anyone else already considering Cassandra? Or perhaps anyone would prefer against playing as Cassandra? Maybe you played Odyssey as Alexios like I did, so your perceptions of Cassandra are permanently skewed as she's the villain.
So I did the same thing you did. I played Alexios first and Cassandra second. And not to get completely off topic, you like Cassandra better as protagonist, so...
So I like Alexios better as protagonist. However, I think that he, because I've seen enough gameplay of Cassandra as the protagonist, my wife actually played as Cassandra through Odyssey. And I have to say that there was enough of a difference that I felt like Alexios was too much of a himbo, if that makes sense. Like there were some scenes where I'm like, okay, he's kind of falling into that stereotypical hero trope of, like, he's really selfless and heroic, but damn, he dumb. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I definitely know what you mean.
like, come on, man. You don't have to be dumb to be a good guy. But yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you for that, Jeffrey. Let's move on to Andrew. Andrew, if you were going to play through the original trilogy as anybody from that trilogy or any protagonist from any other game, who would it be?
I think it'd be really cool to play through it as the Elusive Man. So I was thinking about it because I feel like, you know, we've talked a lot about, like, the indoctrination theory and, you know, all of that stuff. And so I'm imagining playing through it, but you're, as the player, questioning more, like, am I indoctrinated right now? Like, as you're playing it, because, like, the more you're, like, we see him by the end, like, realizing he's indoctrinated, like, depending on your Paragon Renegade score. Like, so I think it would really change the way you play the game because it would make you think, like, am I seeing this as it's actually happening, or am I being manipulated? So I think it'd be interesting in Mass Effect 1, because I wonder what you would learn about Cerberus, because in ME1, right, they're much more kind of disconnected cells. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see, like, how that would kind of feel, or if you would learn more about what they're really up to. But, yeah.
I feel like it would only take subtle narrative changes to make you immersed in the ideology of the Elusive Man, right? It would only take subtle narrative changes where instead of sharing a ship with all of these aliens, you're constantly running up against blockades, like from the Council, right? And all of these different narrative influences are showing you that humanity is in this alone, you know, and it's humanity versus these pro-alien globalists, or I guess you could say galactists. And then, like, making you feel almost like you basically have to be bombarded with red pill talk. with like, oh, the Elusive Man is extremely red-pilled, right? And if you were bombarded with that for, like, I'd say an entire length of game of Mass Effect 1-ish. Come Mass Effect 2, you might start identifying with the Elusive Man's motives a little bit more. Galactic Elitist, as Infantry Slim in chat here puts it. That's a really interesting idea, too, because especially, like, let's say that you play as the Elusive Man and then you get to the end of Mass Effect 3 and you're confronted by Shepard right before you're about to, like, basically seal the deal and have things the way that you want it, or at least so you think. And of course, now Shepard looks like the final boss. And you're like trying to talk Shepard down. I don't know. It's really interesting. Anyone else have any thoughts on playing through the trilogy as the Elusive Man?
I've been wanting like a Soprus led Mass Effect game. So having the perspective of the Elusive Man throughout the OT would be pretty interesting.
What if the story was such that it was like kind of an anti-hero build, almost like House of Cards, where you're kind of rooting for Frank, but you're kind of like, he's an awful human being.
Yeah,
I can't tell if I would want this to be a replacement of Shepard with the Elusive Man, or do I just want to see what the Mass Effect universe was doing, like, not around Shepard? Like, what was the Elusive Man doing during these time frames? Let me play as the Elusive Man going through his story. Let me see the building of Cerberus up. Let me see the interactions of him and Miranda. I don't, you know, Shepard's story, I've already played through that. Let me see the other side of the story, the recruitment, all of that stuff. How did Timmy and Joker get along before Shepard got there? I want to know stuff like that.
I feel like that game would just be a lot of meetings and walking around and watching scientists and saying, I need money, give me funding, and build this ship. And smoking cigars and drinking bourbon and hanging out with people.
To be okay, quick clarification. I think it's cigarettes that he smokes, not cigars. I might be wrong because I haven't played through in a little while, but I think it's cigarettes.
Cigarettes, cigars, whatever. He still, it'd be a lot of him smoking and drinking, which I don't have a problem with, but you know, it'd be an interesting game.
Press X to smoke cig. Yeah, that would be a lot of managerial BS you'd probably have to go through. Like, if you don't match this speech check, you can't convince this cell on some uncharted world to continue their elaborate experiments on the Rachni. That's how Mass Effect 1 goes. Then even if you succeed that, you still get a mission report by the end of it that, hey, Shepard found our lab. Now it's gone.
Okay, yeah, I could see how that might be a little, maybe, okay. It would be a little boring.
Don't let
maybe
them
it's
do
a good little side story.
Don't let them
I don't know.
That was actually going to be my answer. I was going to pick the Elusive Man, and I was going to go with the perspective of playing the original trilogy timeline through his eyes, just so you can see what was going on behind the scenes before the suicide mission, leading up to the suicide mission, all the times that he was, I guess, gently misleading you to go into the direction that he wanted you to go into, including giving the collectors your location so that they could blow your ship up to begin with. I just wanted to see like the thought processes that were going through these decisions that he was making, and thought it would be cool if you could get the speech checks as the Elusive Man, as you're going through these decisions, and maybe you don't let the collectors blow up Shepard's ship and try to go down the story arc of convincing him to work with you rather than essentially killing him and then bringing him back to life so he has no choice. Just trying to see if there were different ways that you could play out the game as the Elusive Man. Ultimately, I believe it would lead to the same ending as the Elusive Man regardless, just like, no, essentially, in quotes, air quotes, no matter what you do as Shepard, it ends the same way. I think it would be kind of the same thing with the Elusive Man, where ultimately you wind up becoming indoctrinated. I guess more of like maybe like what was it, Knights of the Old Republic 2, which kind of no matter whatever you did, it ended the same way it ended. But I thought that would just be cool to just see his perspective. My first playthrough of Mass Effect, I was like, oh, Elusive Man, bad guy. But behind every bad guy, there's some sort of story as to how they became the bad guy or how they got as desperate as they got to make the decisions that they do. That's the stuff that I want to learn.
Do you think that if you were playing as the elusive man, because, of course, before Mass Effect 1, that's when the indoctrination really seeded itself in his brain, then do you think if you're playing as the elusive man, you're consistently, like, you have things you want to say, but let's say you click the button to say it, and then you have to succeed in a speech check in order to actually, or like a wisdom save?
How much control do you have over your own thoughts at that moment based on, you know, whatever the replacement for a Paragon or Renegade score would be? Like, how much grip on reality can you maintain as far into the game as you can? Like I said, with it ultimately leading to the same point it does anyway. But then instead of Shepard getting the speech check to dictate how the elusive man ends that scene, you would have that control, kind of like Saren did at the end of Mass Effect 1.
That would set him up as really this kind of tragic hero, almost like a Shakespearean tragic hero, don't you think?
So,
I mean, with at risk of getting judged by the masses, I kind of view him as that. Hero's not the right word, but tragic, I believe, definitely is, because the more times I play through the game, and I don't know if it's like just growing up now that I'm an adult as opposed to a teenager, I just kind of view him through a different lens. Like, I don't see many times in the game where he genuinely, other than obviously getting you blown up, where he genuinely like goes against what you're ultimately trying to do. Like, he has the same vision for ending the Reapers. He just has a different way of getting there. No different than any other staff meeting that you would have at your job, where six different people are looking at the same. If you want to build a house, you can build it six different ways. You're still building a house.
And I think that he's also far more willing to overlook like atrocious actions he's taken that degrade other people's humanity, for lack of a better word, because it also applies to aliens. But yeah, he's very clearly the embodiment of the ends justify the means. And in Correct. That way, I think that he does somewhat serve as a mirror to Shepard, of what you can become if you Correct. Do fall down that ideological path. I do want to open this up for everyone else because I feel like we've touched on a lot of really cool topics with that. Considering the elusive man as a tragic hero, what does everyone else think?
I want to play that game, but only if Larian makes it in Baldur's Gate 3 style.
Ooh, turn-based. Okay. I like this.
Well, I mean, how else are you going to get a speech check? It's not like you can do actions. Like, I can't just punch a Krogan in the face or headbutt a Krogan to get Paragon or Renegade points.
Well,
so, you know,
there's always skill-based RNG like Oblivion or a lot of other RPGs I do, where if your skill is a certain level, you have certain percentage chance to pass every time you click the dialogue box.
Yeah, the dice is more fun. If it's Reaper control, the dice is more fun.
Ed Boy, looked like you had some thoughts you wanted to bring up.
The way I understood that, it sounded like it would be like instead of like Paragade or Paragon and Renegade, like you would have like an indoctrination like rep level, like depending on the choices you make as the elusive man, it makes your indoctrination deeper if you make like a bad choice.
Now, because you've said that, I'm considering, what if the indoctrination level is similar to your synchronization with Johnny in Cyberpunk, where there is like a figurehead of your indoctrination that you speak to and you know that no one else can see him or it, and he has persuasive arguments that really turn you to his side? I don't know. That'd be cool. Yeah. Genesis, since you're the co-host of the Cyberpunk Lorecast, I want to get your thoughts.
I definitely could see indoctrination being a little bit more, and especially in a video game setting like this, it would have to be a little bit more like Johnny. We need a personification of indoctrination for us as humans to kind of play through that. If there was just, even if it was a disembodied voice that only we heard in our head, we would need to hear that. I don't think that the way that Benezia describes Saren's indoctrination would really work that well in a setting for us. I mean, I for certain do not want to hear nails on chalkboard or the sour yellow sounds of musical notes running through my head the way that the Rachni described it. I would need either an actual voice that I could hear and understand, even if it started off really mumbled and incoherent, and then eventually leading up to something, an apparition that I could see. But that apparition would probably be something like Sovereign or Harbinger or something like that. It would be an actual Reaper form. Again, going back to the Larian thing, it could also be the Dream Guardian type thing. Make it show up however you want it to.
Like right after that first talk with the council, where you're trying to convince the council of the Reaper threat and Saren that they don't believe you. And then you could have a Johnny-esque indoctrination figurehead saying, "See, they don't believe you. They're useless." And exactly. Kind of pushing you deeper into a human supremacy kind of thought. That's really scary to even think about. Anyway, with that, let's get over to the mid-break, shall we? Because we are halfway through this show.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepherd.
Grunt?
Shepherd.
Rex? Grunt?
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Okay, and here we are in the middle of the show. Now, normally, we would be doing a sound effect pop quiz here with Genesis, but Jen, you tell me that there is a line that you have that you really want to save for me, so I think we're going to do that next week. I don't have a planet card because I'd rather spend my time talking with our patrons here, but I do have a review that I wanted to read out. This is from Spotify. It's on our most recent episode where Bernie Norma asks us, can we hear your thoughts on the fact that the Destiny Ascension doesn't fire once in the whole trilogy? Now, this was news to me when I read your comment, Bernie, and we talked about it here in the pre-show a little bit. I actually couldn't remember the Destiny Ascension firing in any of the cutscenes. Now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't. However, I couldn't remember it, and I know that doesn't have like a massive gun in that opening in the middle, but it is equipped with Guardian lasers, and it does have anti-fighter lasers as well, and I believe it's canon that it has as much firepower as the rest of the Asari fleet combined, and it is there for the Take Back Earth sequence. So all those things considered, I suppose it would be pretty surprising that it wouldn't fire once in the whole trilogy. Jen, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that in Mass Effect 1, it's kind of understandable why they wouldn't have fired, because we know that the entire council escaped on the Ascension, and so they wouldn't want to make themselves a target by being a ship that's firing. They wanted to hold back and protect the council, so it makes sense that they weren't making themselves an active target by firing. But as for in Mass Effect 3, in that Take Back Earth scene, I really want to watch through it and see if we can find that ship and see if they're firing at all. They definitely should have at that point.
That is some homework that we will have to do. So thank you so much for that, Bernie Norma. And Bernie also says, love the podcast. So thank you for listening. Okay. And we don't have any new patrons to thank this week, but we do have our tier 5 patrons to shout out. Ed Boy, Kiracy, Lieutenant Tosino, Retro Buff, Superfly 440, Unfortunate Benefactor, and William. Thank you so much for supporting the show and continuing to. And we also have our tier 6 patron, I believe everybody knows. That's right, Commander Shrinky Shep, who has continued his massive support for this podcast. Massive being the pun I intended to be with Mass Effect. All right, and with that, let's get back to the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Solarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
Okay. Genesis, I think we got some more characters to talk about, more characters to get through, and we're going to continue on the same sequence that I have here in front of me with Magister DeVita. Magister, who would you pick as your player character for the original trilogy if it was not Shepard?
So, setting a bit of a scene, was this one going to have in a galaxy a bit far, far away, on a incomplete Death Star, there are two forces fighting against each other. One, a apprentice who highly misled through many turns of killing many a Jedi, and the other, a Dark Lord known as the Emperor. Lightning is sparking between the two of them. Lightning flashing, the forces rippling, and then all of a sudden, explosion occurs. And during that explosion, a rift is open in space through the force and casts a young Galen, formerly known as Starkiller, into another universe, where he crashes on a planet called Therum, next to a weird blue alien, almost looking like a Twi'lek, but not quite, trapped in a force field. There are other aliens and robots in front of him, threatening him, and he decides to pick up his sword once more and proceed into the Mass Effect universe.
Okay, so that's really awesome, and I bet you a lot of the people who've played Star Wars Force Unleashed are, like, jumping up and down their seats right now. Hopefully they're not driving if they're doing that, but I did want to clarify for everyone else that has not played Star Wars The Force Unleashed. Can you describe Starkiller for us?
Starkiller is the apprentice of Darth Vader in an EU, universe where he trained up his own apprentice, kind of. He was also Sidious' apprentice, convoluted Star Wars plots and all that fun stuff. He was trained to hunt and kill other Jedis, and then eventually, through some machinations, ended up with the Rebels to be a double agent, but then he became a triple agent because they subverted him, and then he decided to go out and fight Sidious and Darth Vader, much to his demise. Spoiler for a game came out decades ago.
Yeah, I think you're good on the Force Unleashed spoilers. If since there was so much crisscrossing and double crossing with Star Wars The Force Unleashed and Starkiller's arc, how do you feel that he would treat Cerberus? Would he try to quote unquote align himself with Cerberus only to betray them, or vice versa?
Oh, very much so not. He, with him being someone who, like I said, was subverted by the Rebels, I don't think he would be down for such a supremacist group. Matter of fact, I think he would see a lot of connotations between them and the Empire.
Gotcha. And how do you think that Starkiller would treat the ending in Mass Effect 3? Same options, assuming.
Seeing as how he was willing to sacrifice himself and how he had a robot companion training him, who was like his best friend growing up during his time as a Dark Jedi, I think he probably would go for the synthesis ending.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Seeing himself becoming one with the Force and dispersing himself amongst everybody else.
That's a really interesting way to think about synthesis too, becoming one with the force being the DNA that makes us all organic, right? Or synthetic, and combining it. All right, I'm going to open up this to the floor. Anyone else have thoughts about playing a Starkiller through the original trilogy?
I think, he pulls a Star Destroyer from orbit. So, assuming the Force works in the Mass Effect universe, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, it's like Biotics on steroids, almost, because of the distances that, you know, he has control over. So I guess it would be interesting to see, like, how would he use that? Like, I'm imagining, like, a side quest mission, and it's like, well, we need to do it. He's just like, hold on, I'll take care of it from here. And just, like, pulls someone into orbit, and he's like, they're done. I killed them, you know?
So the gameplay, if he was allowed to retain his same powers, would be absolutely OP. That's what you're saying?
I mean, with that, I don't even think he'd get to the ending. I think he would just kill the Reapers from orbit and just bring them down. And I think he would probably force choke the Elusive Man through space and time and just kill him.
There we go.
Summers would be dead, and then no ending, because all the Reapers would just... he would probably just throw them in the sun just for fun.
Ending controversy completely subverted.
Yeah.
We don't even have to address the ending choices because Starkiller ripped apart Reapers with his bare hands. So there we go.
Okay. But y'all are forgetting the main number one rule of being isekai'd anywhere. You lose a majority of your powers in the process.
Okay. Fair point. So... that being considered, anyone else have thoughts on pros or cons about playing as Starfield through the Starkiller as through the original trilogy story?
I could. My only real thoughts on that is that I can only imagine what the quick time event sequence would be for taking down a repo for Starkiller with just a lightsaber.
Is it even possible? Like, I guess he could just get in. The Reaper somehow cut his way inside.
I'm thinking about taking Lord of the Rings with Legolas and taking Luke when he takes down the AT-AT. So I'm just imagining Starkiller like taking out one Reaper by himself and then landing in front of his crew and having one of them say, that only counts as one. Like,
nice.
That's Garrus. Garrus definitely said that.
Yeah, and then James would probably say something like, I've done that before. I killed two harvesters on Fel Prime. Twice. Something like that.
While riding on the back of a Thresher Maw.
Yeah, right? Yeah. All right, that's that's an awesome idea. All right, let's go over to Ed Boy. Ed Boy, who would you pick to play as a player character if you were playing through the original trilogy?
I was struggling to think of one, and then I thought of Otho Morgan from Red Dead.
Oh, right, boy. You're going to have to walk me through this one, because Arthur doesn't have biotics, and I'm not sure that he would be particularly excelling in, I don't know, space combat or really a lot of combat?
Probably not, but... I was mostly just imagining because how he would interact with the rest of the Mass Effect universe, just like his like kind of no nonsense attitude towards things.
So, I would love to see a scene in which it's Arthur Morgan and Liara and Ashley are fighting over Arthur Morgan's affection in Mass Effect 1. All right, girl. Wow. No, it's okay. Settle down now.
I need you to say, I love it when women fight over me in that voice.
I love it when women fight over me. I'll be back to both your cabins later, okay?
Dutch,
I meant... okay, no, I regret all decisions in life.
Dutch, I went to space and I met some two alien broads.
I guess I just need to have some goddamn faith. All right, that's awesome. I'm going to open it up. Okay, so even without, like, biotic powers or tech powers, because I can't imagine that Arthur is particularly educated in technology, how would everyone else feel about playing as Arthur Morgan from Red Dead 2 in the original trilogy?
A gun's a gun. I'm pretty sure I can learn to shoot this one, too.
All right, fair.
I mean, everybody's forgetting he has the ultimate superpower, right? There's a saying built around it. Kill him with indifference.
There we go. Yeah, he is pretty indifferent, at least until the end, considering your honor or dishonor level. I, for one, would really just play it just to see Arthur's reactions to the romances. I think that would be entertaining by itself. What about anyone else? It looked like Magister, you might have some thoughts.
I think I'm more interested in what happens when Arthur comes back to like, he goes on this whole adventure, and then somehow he winds up back in the same time frame in the Wild West, and seeing how that, like, he just being like, oh, I'm, you don't know what I seen. And matter of fact, I think it was, it probably like the, that, that one weird dude that just walks around. If you shoot him, he doesn't die. What if he was just like, walked up to him and like, hey, I got an adventure for you. And then he's in the Mass Effect universe, and then he's back.
Can you imagine Renegade Interrupts as Arthur Morgan? Like, all the Renegade Interrupts would just be shooting your enemy in the goddamn face before he's done talking.
Imagine them with Conrad.
Oh, no. Poor Conrad. I feel like Arthur would actually have a soft spot in his heart for Conrad. Because he'd be like, look here, feller. You won't know fighting. Go take a seat by the bar.
I think we should have that game, because then the next Mass Effect, the protagonist would be Arthur Morgan and Ashley's kid, because they would definitely have a kid.
They
on
would.
On complete accident.
Yeah. On accident. You had to throw that one in. Would Arthur be just as old as he is in Red Dead 2? Are we like literally plucking him out of Red Dead 2 and putting him in? Also, spoiler alert for Red Dead 2. If you don't want Red Dead 2 spoiled, don't listen to this right now. Skip ahead a little bit. But would Arthur still have TB? And because if he did, I don't think it would really be a big deal. I mean, cancer isn't even a big deal in the Mass Effect universe. They can cure it like that.
I don't think you would trust like the technology enough to even like let them do anything about it.
Oh my God. When FTN in chat here has such an amazing point. She says he could relate with Thane. Can you imagine Arthur and Thane's conversations about life? Because they've both been paid assassins, basically. I would like to hear a podcast with Arthur and Thane talking about their worst jobs ever that they ever went on.
That I would definitely listen to an episode or two of that.
Arthur and Thane go out drinking. And it's like the Red Dead level with Lenny, but Thane. He sees Thane everywhere. All right. Ed Boy, what an amazing, amazing choice. Let's move on. Yukon, you did bring it up earlier that the Elusive Man was your original choice. Did you have time to think of a secondary one?
I actually tried to force myself to think outside of the Mass Effect universe. So scrolling through like my gaming history, you know, what hero would I be able to pull? And I think it's kind of an obvious choice, but there's a little bit of a twist, again, at risk of the entire internet hating me for the second time in one show. I think Master Chief would be a sensible answer. However, he's such a working mute that you would need to give him a little bit more personality. So I'm actually going to pick the Pablo Schreiber Master Chief. That obviously everybody hates me because they think that show insulted the franchise. But I think, I mean, first of all, it wasn't his fault that it was written poorly. But I think the way they wrote the one for the live action TV show, he kind of struggles through a lot of the same grief and loss and kind of like self-actualization that Shepard does as you're going through the trilogy. You know, with him removing his control chip and the whole thought process of Cerberus inserting a control chip versus not. And after he does that, dealing with pain and loss and everything that comes along with that, I think adds a similar storyline to what Shepard goes through, especially in Mass Effect 3.
Do you think that he would try and seek to fulfill that purpose by basically enlisting right away with the Alliance?
Well, so I think that's like another parallel, right, is that he would come up through the Alliance Spectre material, so to speak. I think he would get along swimmingly with the Taurians. Obviously, Garrus would probably still be space BFF because Garrus is a little bit more militant, I think, than Shepard is, or maybe then at least I play my Shepard as. So I still think like the whole intertwined, you know, cast of characters on the Normandy throughout the trilogy would still stay intact also. Probably be a big fan of Rex and Grunt, probably a big fan of Javik. You know, like the Ultra Bros, you know, would probably be your starring cast in a Master Chief edition of this.
Would Edie become his Cortana?
That is the flip side of that coin, right? Do we bring Cortana along, or does Edie now supplant Cortana? Which way do we go with that?
I don't know, because if we are plucking him from his universe, right, we can't bring all of his powers, so to speak, with him, because that's what we agreed with Starkiller. So I don't know. What does everyone else think?
I think it would be taking away Cortana and replacing it with Edie would be the best choice, for especially to stay within the Mass Effect universe, because I wouldn't want two competing computer programs. I don't need that. I don't need AIs fighting over me.
Instead of Ashley and Liara, it's Edie and Cortana fighting over you.
Yeah.
I think keep Cortana. I think it'd be fun to bond with Jeff later on. Like, AI woman, right?
Literally can't escape them. She's in my head. She's... All right. Okay, Master Chief, but specifically the Pablo Schreiber one. I want to ask, before we move on, why the Pablo Schreiber one?
I feel like that one, that presentation of Master Chief, has the most complexity and the most personality. Like deliberately lack thereof depth and personality initially until he removes the chip. I like how the story unfolds that, you know, he's now dealing with emotion and dealing with loss as things are going through, because to me, that's very reflective of Mass Effect 1 Shepard. Kind of just seems like a head down hard charger, and it's not until really playing through Mass Effect 2, you know, and running across the possibility of losing multiple squad mates and the suicide mission and all that, that Shepard kind of has that own run-in with his traumas at the beginning of Mass Effect 3.
Nice. Nicely put. All right, and Retrobot, you've joined us as well. Just in time, the question is, if you're going to play through Mass Effect, the original trilogy, and you could pick any other NPC in Mass Effect trilogy, or any protagonist from any game at all, who would it be and why?
So first of all, sorry about being late. I totally forgot that I'm just in a different time zone now. This is the first time I've ever been in the same time zone as when this happened. So,
hey, better late than never. We're just glad that we got to talk with you.
So I have a couple backups just in case these ones that are already said. But I can tell you the ones that
have already been called out if you want. We've had Doomslayer, Cassandra from Odyssey, the Elusive Man, Starkiller from Star Wars, and Arthur Morgan from Red Dead.
Cool, that's a pretty good lineup. I was going to say Solid Snake from the Metal Gear series.
Okay, so for those of us who have not played Metal Gear, like myself, admittedly, what would make Solid Snake a great player character in this trilogy?
He's good with a wide variety of weapons, and I was just thinking of it as like a funny kind of comparison between Cerberus, because there's also a secret society in the Metal Gear series that are always doing like bad stuff called the Lali Lelulo or the Patriots or whatever. So they're like, oh, Cerberus is making a weapon to surpass Metal Gear, or the Lali Lelulo is making a weapon to surpass the Reapers, something like that.
Gotcha. And what do you think would be the way that he would handle the ending in Mass Effect 3?
I'd say he'd probably destroy the Reapers.
Even at the cost of the Geth?
Yeah, in general, in that series, they're not a huge fan of robots. And those are kind of the bad enemies that they want to kill there.
Jen, have you ever played Metal Gear Solid?
I've watched my husband play through some of it, but no, I've never actually followed through the storyline or anything like that.
From what I know of it, if we were playing through as Solid Snake in the original trilogy, there would be a decidedly more clandestine tone, right? And yeah, less.
It's definitely a lot more Snake.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'd be like almost like combining Mass Effect with Splinter Cell, maybe.
Yeah, but it also make the story so much more complicated, because like the story behind Metal Gear is just crazy. Like, it turned the Mass Effect lore video on YouTube from like 4 hours to like 9 hours of just random. This person is a clone of this person, but this clone's another clone of that. It's just confusing.
Oh, so it's extremely convoluted. Okay. Tell me how you think Solid Snake would handle some of the romance scenes. We were having a good laugh about that earlier, thinking about Arthur Morgan in those scenarios.
I think he'd handle them well, because he was kind of, like, the original character is meant to be kind of like your stereotypical, like, American action movie kind of hero. And there are, like, romance scenes where he does talk to all these different girls he comes across. So I think he'd handle them well.
Gotcha.
I believe that he has an epic level bromance with his with a male partner, right? Like, that is like his one true ride or die.
Yeah, like Revolver Ocelot. Yeah, and just because they have this whole weird frenemy thing going, depending on which like clone or version of Snake's going, because there's like 7 different Snakes that are all related somehow.
All right. Well, let's open it up to the floor. What do people think about playing as Solid Snake throughout the original trilogy? Has anyone played Metal Gear Solid here?
Yeah, I actually think I think that was a great idea. I get STG vibes from that, so I think that would be a nice fit into the universe. It would just be a different play style, which is, in my opinion, if you're playing through as somebody else, kind of what you're looking for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine Paddock Wicks being a Solid Snake level character among the Solarians. That'd be kind of funny.
Just give him a headband and a cardboard box and he's set.
It's hard to imagine a Solarian with a beard or even a stubble. But that'd be pretty funny. Like a grizzled Solarian. Well, I guess there is that Giga Chad Solarian, Tazik, in the comics.
Yeah, but he doesn't have facial hair.
He doesn't, but it would still be really funny to see a Solarian with facial hair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jin, I'm sure you've had someone in your mind this whole time about who you wanted to play as.
Yeah, so I picked Titus from Final Fantasy X. He's been isekai'd before, and that's the terminology, because as soon as I read this prompt, I was like, okay, who am I isekai'ing? Where basically it's an anime trope where you are plucked out of your universe and thrown into another one. Your powers are distorted because you're no longer on your home planet. What are you going to do, and what shenanigans do you get up to? There you go. So that's his storyline in Final Fantasy X. And so this has happened to him before, and he handled it just fine. He was in an advanced technology city before, and then was transported to a minimal tech society. And he was accepting of all these new races and species that he was coming across. There was no friction. He was just like, okay, I'm in your world. I am going to pay attention to the people around me, and I'm going to let them teach me, and I'm going to be okay with this, and was very accepting of everything. So I think it would work.
I was going to say, wasn't he in Kingdom Hearts?
I don't know. I know that him and Sora can look a lot alike, but I don't know if Titus was in Kingdom Hearts because I didn't play that. I have a personal grudge against that game.
Okay. Well, I haven't played Kingdom Hearts either, so I couldn't speak definitively on it. But I know that Kingdom Hearts, the entire premise is basically isekai, isn't it?
Yeah, that I do know. Yeah. It's so. All the Disney characters all in one game.
Yeah.
We don't belong here.
Plus, like Disney Hercules, who doesn't carry with him any of the crippling burdens or horrible rage of real mythological Hercules. Because that would be way too problematic to show kids.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I have been thinking of this a lot, and just because I've been playing through it so much, and someone joked about this in Discord earlier, I would want to play as the hero of Kvatch from Oblivion.
Oh my god.
Because if, like, you could cheese his abilities, right? So his being, because I play as a guy, hero of Kvatch, you could cheese his abilities so that he just absolutely, like, embarrasses all of the enemies throughout the original trilogy. You can be as much or as little of a complete psychopath as you want, and it won't really burden you because morality doesn't really burden you in the Elder Scrolls. Nothing bad is going to happen to you because you rest assured knowing that even if a Reaper gets you right in front of them, there's no way that Sheogorath or any of the other Daedric gods are going to let you perish. And since Daedric gods apparently have powers beyond realms, like, I wouldn't be too worried about it. In fact, I'm not even worried about dying if I'm the hero of Kvatch, because then all of the different Daedric gods who I've pledged myself to have to fight amongst themselves for who retains control of my soul. So I would just be able to act with impunity and not worry about anything no matter where I go. Although at the cost of not being able to romance anyone, because you can't do that in Oblivion.
But you can now because you're playing Mass Effect.
I guess you could. I would.
Oh my gosh. My Khajiit could actually romance a kitty cat Garrus. I'm all for it. Let's go.
No, no. Not the mental image that I wanted to see. I don't even know how that would work. I don't want to think about the logistics, really. Let's open that up for everyone else to talk about. So either Titus from Final Fantasy or Hero of Kvatch from Oblivion, how would you all feel about playing as either one of them throughout the original trilogy?
The Hero of Kvatch would be really... like, as soon as you said that, I was just thinking about Anderson and, like, the final fight to the Citadel or whatever. He turns into like a giant dragon and kills a Reaper.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Anderson is actually Akatosh.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. And then your response is "say nothing" in brackets.
Yeah, you just give him that same little kings and he turns into the avatar of Akatosh and just takes down the Reaper single-handedly.
Right, and Magister, you put here in the Twitch chat, are we talking about Endgame Hero of Kvatch, the one who has mantled Sheogorath? Because that sounds horrid.
Well, technically, like, both situations are kind of horrid, because if you got Endgame Hero Kvatch, which is practically Sheogorath, or Titus coming in there and all of a sudden a random space sin comes out of nowhere, that just, like, the Mass Effect universe has enough already, guys. Let's not, like, add to their problems.
Oh no! See, in my head, it happened when Sin died. He got pulled during that whole sequence.
All right,
gotcha. I'm taking Sin with me.
Well, this has been really fun to talk about. I'm sure everyone else listening has had their own ideas, and we'd love to hear them. Drop who you would play as if you could play through the original trilogy again as any protagonist, any game, and or any NPC within the original trilogy. We'd love to hear about it. That wraps it up for this week. Next week, we've got another lore episode coming to you. Genesis, until then, how can people get a hold of you, and what do you got going on?
Yeah, hit me up at the Discord at any time. My name is Genesis with a J, J-E-N-N-A-S-I-S. You can catch me on Two Girls, One Ship and the Cyberpunk Lorecast.
Both fantastic shows. And we'll go around the horn here. Dollar Bills, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
I'm on Discord. I don't speak too much, but if you message me, I'll see it. Dollar Bills, I think, on it. Yeah. And then I have I'll be starting a new venture-ish that'll be on Instagram and TikTok once I learn how to use TikTok, because I've never used it before in my life. And then if anyone's interested in that, once I have that up and running, let me know, and I will get you the information.
Absolutely. And Jeffrey, how can people get a hold of you? What do you got going on?
Not a lot. On the Discord under Superfly 440. You can get a hold of me that way if you really want to talk to me. Otherwise, just enjoy hanging out with all y'all.
And we love talking with you as well. Andrew, what do you got going on, and how can people get a hold of you?
This thing called Discord. I'll be on it. Sometimes. I'm a lurker, I guess, so I should work on that. Just busy with work. Working kids. Work and kids.
I completely understand now, because I will be ideally going back to work here soon, and I can't imagine how we're going to balance that, my wife and I, but we will, I guess we have to. Magister, how's it going? I think, you know, last we had spoken, Magister, I think you were still writing some fiction, right? Are you still working on that?
Yeah, still typing away on that right now. You know how it goes, the life of the artist. Right now, though, I've just been, like, working towards working and then also playing the occasional games. Currently detoxing from Clan Obscure right now, so trying Warhammer Rogue Trader. So I don't know why I thought that would be healthy, but yeah, nothing too productive artistic wise though.
No, I totally get that. My nose has been totally buried in Tainted Grail: Fall of Avalon. That game is so sick. If anyone else wants a classic RPG dark fantasy to get into, that is the one. Ed Boy, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
I'm on the Discord if you want to talk Mass Effect. So whenever I note out about something we talk about on the podcast.
Absolutely. All right. And Yukon Cornelius?
Yeah, Yukon Cornelius on the Discord. Unlike most people, I probably talk too much on the Discord. So shout out to everybody that's been entertaining me for the past few days. Talking way too much with me. Shout out to the Discord, by the way. We've been covering a lot of interesting topics lately. It's been really blowing up my phone, so I do appreciate that. And if somebody out there is in textile manufacturing and you can figure out tags on shirts, it's 2025. Why do we still have tags on shirts? I have a tagless shirt on right now, but what they did was they took the tag from 1960 and put it on the side by my waist, and it's just been digging into my waist this entire conversation. Can somebody please solve that for me? Thank you.
Sam, you're talking.
It might help if I hit the unmute button on my soundboard. Anyway, that's how I feel about tags on underwear. What the hell? Come on. Like, it digs into you all day. It's so annoying. Also, I was Googling this on the side, Yukon Cornelius. Is that name a reference to the old, like, what's it called? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer TV show?
Yeah, a blessing and a curse. It was a nickname I adopted right after high school. Once I could grow a beard, people just started calling me that, and it kind of stuck.
Nice. Well, I don't have a nickname, maybe because I can't grow a beard, but I guess we'll see. And Redrobot, what do you got going on? How can people get a hold of you?
Believe it or not, I'm also on the Discord. Same name. I'm finally moved out to Washington now, so I'm playing video games again, which is cool. So if anyone needs Lance in Monster Hunter, I'm down. Otherwise, I'm just busy at work.
Nice. My wife loves Monster Hunter. She doesn't get to play right now. Admittedly, neither one of us gets to play too much video games, because that's a life of having a newborn. But I'm glad that you get to play more video games. Congrats on your move. I'm glad that it went well and you are all settled now. And I guess that I don't think I left out anyone. The little order of squares rearranged on our Google call. But I don't think I left out anyone. I am kind of taking a hiatus from streaming. If someone has followed me on Twitch and you're like, hey, when are you going to be live? And you notice I haven't been live. That's probably why, because I just haven't found a good time slot where I can guarantee that my wife and or son won't need me for like 2 hours. Lot to ask from a newborn. But I promise I will be getting back to streaming here soon, even if it's just streaming maybe an hour. Maybe I'll do like a stream with no camera. I haven't even really considered doing that, but maybe that's something I could do. Stream with no camera. That'd make things a lot easier on me. But like I said, I'm playing a lot of Tainted Grail. I might stream some of that because the story is really fun. It's like a reimagining of King Arthur's legends. I'm also like deep into Oblivion. Maybe I'll just make a total joke character and stream that. I've also been like threatened in terms of, hey, you better play Expedition 33 or else I'll break your kneecaps by a number of my friends. So I think I'll have to start that if I value my ability to walk. And that's
you and me both, man. Kolkishans has been on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't name my friends, but if one of them is here. so I will keep everyone updated about my streaming and when that's looking like it's going to start. But until then, you can always find me here on, the Mass Effect Lorecast and of course in 7 to Legend on any social media that I have. So, that's all we got for this week, but until next time, Spectres, we should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/MassEffectLorecast.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.